Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I go to bed with a prayer that you soon make love to me.
Soon.
Does that seem?
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. Ryan Kelly, our title sponsor. Congratulations to Ryan and his wife, Tracy, on the birth of their son, John Lloyd, on Friday.
Another John Kelly.
How about that?
Nice.
That's
nice.
Outstanding. Tip of the cap to the Kelly family.
Very nice.
Ryan Kelly not only has a new son, he also can save you money.
He can save you a ton of money. Hundreds of dollars a month, maybe thousands of dollars, potentially tens of thousands of dollars over the course of your mortgage. So you're saying, how can he do that? Well, rates are low. And if you've got a high rate on your mortgage, you need to refinance. So we've been through this. By now, you should start to get it. If you have a rate that's like in the fours or in the fives, knock it off with that. Get to Ryan Kelly, and he and his staff can get you refinanced into a much lower rate. Now, rates are starting to inch back up, so you need to get on this. You need to get on it today. There's a reason the top realtors in town are working with Ryan Kelly and the home loan expert team. The housing market is hot right now. A lot of homes are selling the day they come on the market. It's never been more important to have a strong mortgage lender. So if you're even considering buying a home or refinancing your current mortgage, make sure to call Ryan and get pre-approved. He can do it on the very same day you call in. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why you want to go anywhere else, man? Call Ryan. Here's the number. 314-781-Call Ryan, and here's the number. 314-781-9700, or you can visit thehomeloanexpert.com to get all of your questions answered.
Ryan Kelly, the title sponsor of this program, makes sure that if you're going to write your refinance or buy a home, that you do your business with Ryan Kelly online at thehomeloanexpert.com. And once again, congratulations to Ryan and his wife, Tracy, on the birth of John Lloyd Kelly. The cat was out there coaching this weekend, and we acquired leaked footage of it from this gentleman, Mark Saxon, the ESPN.com reporter for the St. Louis Cardinals, and also the Zapruder of local grade school basketball, apparently. Good morning, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. What's going on, guys?
Well, you leaked some video on me, and it's not the most flattering video.
What'd you find, Saxy?
Cat, I don't know how is it not flattering? I mean, you are instilling in our younger generation an appreciation for defensive fundamentals, footwork, team defense. I believe we zoned up last week. I mean, that's just good. That's, you know, Coach Wooden would be proud. I mean, that's legit. I don't know how in any way that's embarrassing.
Well, I mean, if you watch the video, as I did, and you were the guy with the whistle moving the ball from one direction to the other with no one listening, it could be embarrassing. But your team, because we had to split our team, and we don't say what league they're in because we don't want listeners showing up at the games. But my team lost, and we got spanked, and your team won. And I heard your son is a defensive stopper.
Yeah, and he made a nice little kind of a 12-foot bank shot too. He had, I think, two of our total of 10 points in double overtime.
It was a little more up tempo.
But they did shut him down defensively. I'll give him that.
Now our pal Mark is a good follow on Twitter. You can follow him at Mark Saxon. Enough about my inability to coach. We were discussing the Cardinals. He's the beat writer for ESPN. In St. Louis, and we were discussing whether or not the Cardinals are going to be better this year than last year. Certainly, they spent some money, they made some upgrades, but you know they also don't have Matt Holliday in the mix. What's your take? Will they? Do you think they have a chance to be better, or do you think it could go in the other direction?
I'd say if I were handicapping, I'd say maybe, you know, just being realistic, I think 60-40 that they'll be better, just because I think if you look at that pitching staff. Almost 1 through 12, I'd say maybe 8 or 9 of the guys last year had seasons that were a little bit below their career norm. So if you sort of project, you know, that regression to the mean, as they say. You would think the pitching would be better, right? And they've certainly made a lot of noise and made some moves to make the defense better. Those things go hand in hand. But like you said, you lost 48 home runs with those two guys. But I do think it makes more sense in that stadium, and I think just the way they think about baseball, I think it makes more sense to them for them to play a little more run prevention rather than try to outslug teams. So, you know, I'm just assuming that they know what they're doing and they'll be a little bit better, but, you know, there's never a guarantee year to year, is there?
What do you expect from Michael Wacha and Trevor Rosenthal, two guys who obviously played huge roles the last couple of years, but it's kind of a question mark right now where either one fits in?
Yeah, people, see, those are sort of X factors. I think, really, for me, though, they're pretty different cases. I think with Wacha, we got to find out if he's healthy, right? If he can he stay healthy, or is that, you know, shoulder issue just going to be something that every August or every early September shuts him down? You know, I think the only other major leaguer that I know of who had a really comparable injury was Brandon McCarthy, and if you look at his career, you know, I don't know that he's ever pitched for 6 months. You know, he's always been shut down at some point of a season. So, you know, Wacha, it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. I think they dangled him in some trade discussions, and there wasn't as much interest as maybe they had thought there would be. And I think that's because teams are asking the same question we just did, is he healthy? Rosenthal, I would think there's a huge upside for, and we, if you saw him at the end of the year with those, you know, a couple multiple inning stints, that was exciting, right? I mean, their teams are trying to do that here and there with some relievers. But there's nothing to say he won't be a back end of the bullpen guy either. And, you know, I'm a little dubious about this starting thing. I think that's more maybe to appease him and to, you know, leave open that possibility of multiple innings. But I still think he'll be a key bullpen guy.
He would love to be considered for the possibility of grabbing a starting spot, though he gets it. He'll probably be in the bullpen. And he told me he thinks, you know, that'll work out fine for him as well. You know, one of the other discussions when you talk about the defensive upgrades, and we were kind of broaching the subject this morning as well, to me, I'm a Wong guy, and I think you put him at second base, you're going to be better defensively than you were with the different guys rotating in and out last year. And I think Diaz, you know, there are different metrics you can use, but from what I saw, I think he's getting better defensively at shortstop. You plug in Fowler in the outfield, and you move Grichuk to left. It seems like there's better defense all around. If that's the plan that the Cardinals are going to continue, to put into place, to me that's a better defensive team. But I, there are people that are questioning how much better defensively they're going to be.
Yeah, it is a better defensive team. I think part of it too is if you put a center fielder, Randall Grichuk, in left, you know, he could be, you know, kind of a plus defender in left, even if he was roughly average in center. But I agree. I mean, really their issues, especially early in the year, were on the infield, and they didn't change any of the personnel there, right? So Colton Wong's a pivotal guy, as everybody has sort of zeroed in on, because he does require of the manager, I think, a lot of patience, because he can be a frustrating offensive player. You know, he's a guy who, if he doesn't hit for a high average, there's not a lot of value added to the offense because he's not an on-base guy and he's not a power guy. He has virtually no power, or at least he didn't show it. I think there's more power in there. I think there's more of everything in there. I think he's a good athlete who should hit better, but I think there is some frustration, and it's a lot to ask of Mike Matheny to play him on a daily basis if he's not going to produce offensively. But I agree with you. I think their plan is to show that patience and almost to sort of force it because he is such a good defender, and that's kind of what they're about right now.
And if Wong plays all the time, that probably means Jerko will have trouble finding considerable playing time. This is a guy who hit 30 home runs last year. I think if anybody else did it, you'd say, well, here's our middle-of-the-order hitter that's playing every day. But with Jerko, it seems like he's kind of forgotten. How do you think they use him this year?
Yeah, that is a weird situation. I think, you know, he led the team in home runs. I mean, how often does that guy have to fight for at-bats? But, you know, you do see, like, these things have a way of working themselves out, right? I think that the plan now is to use him a lot at third, and then you're going to have a situation with Johnny Peralta. I think you're going to just see who's producing at the time. You know, and neither one of those guys, by the way, is like a bad player. I mean, these are good players, right, who you know, potentially could be a huge part of your team. So I think you just have to see how that works out. There could be a trade. You know, somebody, as always, could get hurt. But you're right. I mean, it's a weird situation. Jerko became an everyday guy, I think, by about mid-season last year and hit the heck out of the ball. So, but again, I mean, if the commitment is to defense, then, you know, you can see why you wouldn't want to think of him certainly as your everyday second baseman.
You know, one of the X factors for me in the Cardinal rotation is Lance Lynn, because I think the common wisdom is you're coming off Tommy John. You're not going to be the same guy. Lance Lynn doesn't buy that because he had the surgery like right after the season a couple years ago. And when he's healthy, it's fastball, 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 and he wins games. I know wins is a stat that upsets a lot of Sabre people, but he does win games. To me, he's one of the keys for the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that they'd have pretty good confidence in him. He's kind of one of those guys who, if anything, has been a little underrated over the years. You know, good ERA, good all-around numbers. I think that, you know, the Tommy John thing, I think there's been enough time, as you mentioned, and the fact that he was throwing bullpens at the end of last year, and there was even talk that he might pitch out of the pen a little bit, tells you that he's going to have plenty of time to get that arm right. I think with the, when a guy's coming off surgery, the question isn't nowadays so much, is he going to be healthy? It's, is he going to be the same, right? I mean, things are moving around. They're going to feel a little bit different. It might take him a little time to get that sort of touch and feel and command. But, you know, this is a proven guy, and we've seen so many pitchers come back from Tommy John. Now, the vast majority, you know, if given their proper amount of time to rehab it, come back just fine. So it's almost kind of a rite of passage for pitchers now, and he got his out of the way. For me, that's one of the, you know, lesser kind of concerns in the rotation at this point.
You think Matt Adams is around as a Cardinal this year, or will they deal him?
I think it'd be a mistake at this point to deal him unless there's a legitimate return, because he's thrived in that, you know, bat off the bench role, which is not easy. And they don't have, we just talked about, you know, the lack of power, lack of middle of the order type guys, and he's a guy who can turn a game around late. I think you have to hold him, certainly for now, until you see how things sort out on the infield. You know, they could be an injury away from needing him badly. So I don't expect him to move him. I did it one time, but I think they see also that he's made a commitment to get better. I mean, he's gotten in shape. I've heard he's lost a lot of weight. I haven't seen him. Maybe Cat has. But I think that shows, too, that he's going to fight his way back.
And he's a lefty bat, which they need, yep, too. Like, all the people that are ready to trade Adams, he's their best pinch hitter, and he's a lefty bat. You know, to me, that'd be foolish. My sense was that the Cardinals, you know, you mentioned Waka and teams being concerned about his injury past with Jaime. I think the Cardinals were hoping to get a little bit more from Jaime, but teams were concerned about his medicals as well. I think the Cardinals were hoping to package up a few pieces and really address a need, and that didn't happen because there were guys that teams didn't think would stay healthy.
Yeah, things are so transparent now. I mean, there's very little information that teams can't sort of root out. And when we've seen what happens when teams sort of try and, you know, obscure some of the medical history, they get fined by the commissioner's office. So, yeah, I think that's right. But, you know, Adams is, you know, if he can stay healthy, I think you're right. He's an important guy. You still got to hold on to that.
Mark, you think the Cardinals have any realistic shot of catching the Cubs this year, or are they playing for a wild card spot?
That's a tough one. On paper, I don't think that's, you know, really legitimately likely. On the other hand, you know, I mean, we've seen teams win the World Series and the next year everything falls apart. I don't think the Cubs are going to pitch as well as they did last year. I think what we mentioned about the Cardinals, everybody sort of was below their career norms. Most of the Cubs guys were well above them, with maybe the exception of Arrieta. So I expect the rotation to come down to earth, but, you know, look at that team from top to bottom. There really isn't a weakness. The young position players, if anything, could be getting better. So barring injuries, I think the Cardinals, and I think that was reflected in the lack of major moves this offseason. There's some realization you don't need to make up 17 games. You really just need to make up one game, which is what they were short of the wild card, and then start the tournament, and anything can happen, right?
Mark Saxon, ESPN.com, Cardinal writer and also grade school basketball videographer with us here on the Appliances Counter Phone Lines. Mark, thanks for dropping by the show. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Saxon.
Thanks, gentlemen. Thank you, Coach.
All right. Thank you, Saxon.
He is a good guy. He is a fun scribe. Fun to have
fun scribe.
Well, you know, there are some scribes that are all business, don't Ooh. Really go hand in hand.
Who are some of the all business
fellas? Well, that guy you worked with in Poughkeepsie, I think his name was Nick.
I never worked in Poughkeepsie.
This Mark Saxon is a guy who likes to have a little fun and joke around.
And you said he's one of the other coaches?
No, his kid plays on the team. So initially, we had a team, and then too many kids signed up, so we had to split it.
Sure.
So he's new to the area. He came from L.A., and he was asking about leagues, and I said, we have a league, and he signed his kid up, but then we had too many kids, so we had to split it. So his kid is coached by the team, by the coach that won their game.
Oh, yeah. So he drew the lucky straw here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although we practiced together, and that's where he got the video of me.
Oh.
Move your feet. All this way.
Were you teaching any offensive skills? Is it just defense?
I start with defense. I'm a Norm Dale disciple.
Now, how many points you score this last game?
Did I?
Did were your club?
10.
You scored, maybe you ought to teach him the shooting chamber.
Doug, I'm not going to panic because we had a lot of shots that these kids, I've seen them play a couple of years now, usually make and didn't make.
Yeah.
So we had a bad game.
The problem.
Don't panic. We won the second
okay.
half.
Well,
Hecker played really well.
You're going to have to put the ball in the hole a little bit. The problem I had with kids, they all want to practice and shoot the three-pointer. If they can barely get it up there, that's what they're going to try to do. We used to have drills where we'd shoot as a team, three-pointers, and I would keep the stats, and we'd hit like 1 out of 25.
That's about what you wanted, isn't it?
And no. And then we would move in about
Clarence
10,
Gilbert
we'd move in about 10 feet and
John
shoot,
Woods.
And we'd hit about 10 out of 25. And I'd say, on one, you scored 20 points, and the other, you scored 3 points. What do you think? Where do you think we ought to be shooting?
What?
We like the three-pointers. Move in!
How about this, Doug?
You're not strong enough. Move in! You're throwing the ball baseball style just to get it to the hoop. You're not big enough.
Doug, what about rebounding? Most shots in that particular league are missed. So it's a free opportunity for a possession to get a rebound.
Yeah.
I worked on this. Mark Saxon didn't put that video out there, mm-hmm. but I worked on boxing out.
Right.
Boxing out.
Okay.
And then when the game started,
nobody
no one
boxes.
Boxed out,
no.
and we gave away easy baskets and lost possessions because we didn't rebound.
You'll be lucky if you have one kid who'll get in there and fight for those rebounds. One of them will look and say, well, it's not right to me, but I still have a shot.
And then
the rest, I'm not gonna go after that one. It didn't go right. I'd rather shoot the three-pointer. Knock it off with the three-point shot.
And then here's another thing, too. So we split the teams, so their height, talent, so they're two separate teams that are the same.
Right.
And then, well, my son likes little Billy over there. Can my kid play with his friend Nick?
Yeah,
and next thing
our
you know,
ride to practice.
We're having a trade back and forth.
Yeah, we have to do those things.
These kids are 7, right?
Well, you don't think they should be playing? Or you don't think we should be yelling
at
them?
I don't think they need to be coached that extensively. Let them get out there and have fun.
Well, that's what I tell
box
them.
Box out. You think they remember what box out is 5 minutes after
no,
you tell them?
You got to learn the fundamentals.
They all go running for the ball. That's what they do.
You're supposed to teach them a little bit about the game. Here's what I told them, Doug.
Spacing?
I said, number one thing, have fun and try hard. That's all I'm going to ask. Try hard, have fun.
That's all you need to say.
Those
get out of the way after that.
Two pillars.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll be honest, I tried to facilitate the connectedness. It didn't work.
Box out, right. Move your feet, come on.
Well, you got to tell him something, sure. You
he
learn
did.
You
have fun
learn.
And enjoy yourself and work hard.
No,
that's all
I
you got
to
tell him.
I did try to teach them to box out, move their feet on defense, and then set up just a basic offense.
And you have a lot more fun if you have some success. If you get your doors blown in every time you go out, it stops being fun. You got to have some kind of plan.
Well, if you got those 7-year-olds that have growth spurts that are like 5'8", Those are the teams that are going to win.
Well, we also the kids are seven.
If they're all equal, it's going to be like just, 2-2.
I just recruited a 10-year-old from Nigeria who is 6'2". So I think
got him in on a phony birth certificate.
Christ, when I was seven, I was at St. Mary Magdalene. I was excited when I scored a point in a game because I wasn't strong enough to get the ball to the hoop. I made a free throw underhanded, and I made it, and I was excited. I went home, Mom, I had a point.
Oh, just like
I actually got the ball to the hoop. I wasn't strong enough to get it that high.
Well, then why are you shooting so many three-pointers?
I didn't shoot three-pointers. Well, I boxed out is what I did. I boxed out. I got rebounds.
And also, rest assured,
I did nothing. I had fun.
Twice a week, I have the kids in the weight room, okay? We have an extensive weightlifting program.
Fair. And you make them each shoot like 500 shots before they can go home?
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
Take it too seriously.
Because there are a lot of kids from that Ledoux league that will go on and play in the NBA.
We don't say what league, Doug. Yeah. But the kids are most excited on the teams we play on after every game, be it soccer, baseball, basketball. There are treats. One of the parents brings treats.
Go get ice cream. Mm-hmm.
So we know we bring them. So they get a little treat.
Do you ever deny the treat if they lose a game?
No.
If we won, we went to Velvet Freeze. If we lost, we went home and cried.
Unless you got a point.
Because we didn't get a treat.
What if you got a point, though?
My mom would take us to get ice cream after we lost because the coach wouldn't.
Really?
Bastard.
Iggy scarred.
Scarred for life. Just because we lost, we don't get ice cream?
Well, maybe if you block out a little bit, you'd get your ice cream.
Iggy,
Immaculata's going to get ice cream. Why can't we?
Well, you didn't block out. And you kept firing up those three-pointers.
No, I wasn't a chucker. I couldn't get it that far. I had skinny arms. I couldn't throw it that far.
Well, it's nice to see you bulked up.
Yeah. I can still barely get it there.
Did you play in high school at all?
Yeah, I got kicked off the team twice, freshman and JV.
You made the squad and then got kicked off?
Yep.
Why?
Well, I told you one time, it was like we were down by 40 points with like 30 seconds left. And he said, Stroh, get in. I said, I'm not going in.
No, you weren't going in.
Embarrass me. I'm going to go in. We're down by 40. Screw that.
Yeah.
And I was done the next day.
So he ran you off right then?
Yeah. And then one time I wore my uniform backwards and I stenciled skate on the back because Nate Archibald was my favorite player. So I had a stenciled in purple skate and I went out on the court. And
on the uniform proper?
Yep. Yeah, that was done there, too.
Did you play any varsity sports in high school?
Golf.
I was a four-year letterman in golf. I got kicked off of every team. I got kicked off of baseball because I wouldn't cut my hair. Football, I didn't get kicked off. I caught a pass over the middle and got tackled and was out for like 5 minutes.
He knocked you cold, did he?
That was pretty much my football career, yeah. I was too small to play football. Ran track for about one time and just got bored with that. And 4 year letterman in golf.
Boy, you could hit a long and straight there.
No, not really.
Stay out of the tall grass.
No, we just had a bunch of suck ass players that everybody made the team. Now it's pretty good in golf. Every other one got kicked off of.
Where was the home course there for Brentwood?
An old course called Southmore down off of Tesson Ferry. It's no longer there.
Huh.
How does that work? High school teams, do they have to pay? Or the courses sure let them?
No, we didn't pay.
Well, the school paid.
School paid. Yeah, it was a terrible track. I'm sure they didn't pay much.
Don't say track. Don't call a golf course a track.
I just did.
Well, yeah, but I wish you wouldn't.
Let's not get sideways.
Yeah, it's just a course.
9:27. We want to finish strong.
Okay.
Kind of like my team did. We had a big second half.
Doug, if you'd like to see a video of celebrities slipping, you can do so at TMZ.com. It was raining in Los Angeles last night, and Johnny Galecki slipped on his way out of a party, as did Julianne Hough, and it is on the front page of TMZ.com.
They fall? Go all the way down?
What?
Someone did.
Someone did there. I don't know. Was that Derek Hough, Doug?
I don't know who it is. Not looking
at Julianne's brother, and I believe he's on that Dancing with the Stars.
This woman's going down.
That's Julianne Hough, I think. Now
she made it.
She falls into the category of maybe would have gotten into a little work done at a young age. I don't know. She hasn't fallen yet, the cat.
Stable. She's very stable.
Just because it's raining?
TMZ had a light night. It's kind of like when we don't have a lot, so we talk about my coaching.
It's one thing to fall because it's
the equivalent
icy.
Of my coaching is the TMZ video that we're.
I would like to put together a collage of TMZ cameramen idiots who ask questions and don't get answers, and then act like they're good at what they do. Hey, John, how was it last night? Did you have a good time? Nobody answered. Thanks, buddy. Great job.
Well, hold on, Iggy. They're just a camera guy. And TMZ doesn't, they're usually freelancers, so they're not going to have a reporter with them, so they're doing the best they can.
Well, hire a
reporter.
So suddenly
they get something, they sell it to TMZ, and their questions are in there. I say good for them.
No, they're not good at what they're doing. They ask stupid questions, and nobody answers their questions and act like they're buddy-buddy. Good scene again, buddy. Good. He doesn't even know who you are.
No.
And nobody answered your questions. They all walked right by you.
It's guys like Doug who won't go out with the shooters. Just hold the mic in there.
Push the button, monkey.
I'm too busy sitting here watching Game of Thrones in the office. You don't watch it.
No, I don't watch it. As I've said before, I've channel surfed a few times and seen it, and I say, everyone's talking about this. I'll watch a
Did
little
bit. Did you watch The Sopranos?
Who
would you rather make out with, Khaleesi or...
I don't know who any of them are. I see him sitting in these old stone buildings. The old stone buildings, and nothing ever happens. Everyone looks very serious, and they're having conversations. I don't know what they're about. And I say, I'm sorry. I'm moving on. That's what I say. Sorry.
Did you watch The Sopranos? Did you get into that?
I watched some of it.
So it's not...
That's a whole different thing.
No, I know, but it's an HBO series where people like don't see it, and then they catch up and binge watch. I don't know if you were that kind of guy that follows it. Because you're a bachelor.
We're binge watching like the Dickens. We only have like 8 more episodes of Game of Thrones.
Oh, really? You're all caught up?
Almost.
Then we can, on Mondays, when they start the new season,
When do they start the new season? I was wondering that.
March, I think, April, maybe.
Doug, Cersei or Khaleesi, who would you rather make out?
I don't know who they are.
I would say Sansa.
Oh, no. I would definitely.
Mr. Skin's asking the question, does she get naked this year?
Doug?
I don't know.
I think it's in her contract. She doesn't have to get naked.
Yeah. Mr. Skin sent out a news release asking that question. Like
that was a skin question of the day.
When's the time period of this thing? Is it like the time of Christ? When is it? Is it 2,000 years ago or something?
I think it's completely fictitious.
Yes, it's you don't know what year it is. Well, there were still giants.
But there isn't like any point of reference, or it's not taking place in like, you know, England.
1943.
It's not 1943 either. I mean, you would think, I guess, it'd be like 12th, 13th century, something like that, I guess.
1930s.
And it's just amazing how great everybody looks, how clean they are, and the architecture's fabulous.
The shrubs were dense back then?
I bet life was really rough.
They were highborns.
Now, they do show people in their chamber pots.
Yeah.
That kind of takes the edge off.
Mm-hmm. They show people in their little...
They like a lot of times people throw chamber pots at each other.
No, they don't. Yeah. Full?
They dump them out the window.
Oh, jeez.
That seems like a bad beat. Goes on in Brazil.
And they didn't know to bathe every day or to wash the clothing.
Well, I'm sure they couldn't.
Time.
They were just trying to get through the next day.
Well, the highborn people had tubs. The lowborn people, they just...
I like that. Highborn, lowborn.
They didn't have tubs, so they didn't do much washing.
But I wondered, did they even know it's good to bathe every day? I mean, life was tougher back then.
Oh, you think?
You go down to get the water or to maybe wash your clothes, and an alligator eats you. So you probably
don't wash
your clothes.
Well, in certain parts of the world.
No, pretty much.
Not everybody. No, there weren't alligators everywhere.
West Palm?
Yeah.
No. Now, I watched, I don't know if this really happened back in the Roman era.
Is it going to be gross?
Well, no. It's, you know, you worry. I don't worry, but I think about things like how hygiene worked back in those days. But
I don't think they paid a lot of attention.
But I was watching Spartacus, one of my favorite shows of all time.
And that was Tony Curtis and Kirk Douglas?
No, this is the Starz series.
Oh.
With Liam McIntyre and the great Lucy Lawless, who gets naked every week. But there was an episode where he had to go to the bathroom, and there's an outdoor area where it's just one long, like, bench, and they have holes in it, and one guy's standing next to him taking a leak.
That's what they did in Rome.
And, yeah, and the other guy's sitting down, just pulls his, whatever they call those robes.
Trousers?
Just pulls it off.
Oh.
And when he gets done, the attendant hands him a stick with, like, a piece of sponge on the end. He just dips in water, wipes himself off, and then throws it back into the water. That's how they did it. And then he just stands back up and walks away.
And
that seems kind of gross.
Well, what did you think? How did you think they did?
Well, don't you think that back then you at least have a rag and wipe? You know that's got a stick and itch. You just get a wet sponge and swab yourself off and throw it back in the bucket for the next person to use the same water?
I don't think that they really thought a lot about.
Well, Romans are very smart people.
Guys, chamber pots are still very common in Jefferson County.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
Fred Astaire tire riding in. The map of Game of Thrones world isn't congruent to any sort of real world geography you want from PP Corp.
Yeah, because back in the 30s, when this happened,
wasn't in the 30s.
They didn't have the means to.
Yeah, the continental
the
plate
world.
Shifting.
Yeah.
Doug, Game of Thrones takes place on Westeros. Thanks, a gaping stepdad.
On where?
Westeros.
What's that?
That's the land, baby.
Okay.
And then they all have their own kingdoms.
How about Khaleesi's assistant? She's fine. Probably the finest on the show.
Yeah, she is hot. She got naked.
Can you imagine if you were...
Grey Worm was looking at her and he got all embarrassed.
Doug, Grey Worm.
If you lived back then and you weren't well-to-do... Life was probably awful. You were a serf somewhere or something?
Yeah. Lowborn.
If you lived to 30, you were doing good.
Right? And it probably only had basic cable. There's nothing to watch.
No cable.
What?
No. They may have had U-verse, but certainly no cable.
You had to worry about poisoning back in those days.
You had to worry about eating.
Milk of the poppy. Just sneaking into your drink and you're done.
Milk of the poppy will get you?
No, that puts you to sleep, actually.
Posies will put you to sleep. Posies.
No, poppies.
Posies. No. Wizard of Oz. Posies. Yeah. I thought that was your favorite movie.
It's poppies will put you to sleep.
Posies.
Poppies.
I'll give you 10 to 1.
Well, let's look it up.
Iggy, who do you side with?
When it started to snow, that scene?
Well, let's be in Game of Thrones, if you drink milk of the poppy, you fall asleep. So
yeah, but the Wicked Witch of the West says posies will put you to sleep. Posies will put you to sleep.
Pocket full of posy?
Well, I don't know about that part, but she says posies will put you to sleep. There's flying monkeys everywhere. Posies will put you to sleep.
I thought there were sunflowers.
The Plow Bruin has information.
I think Doug might be right on this. We have a 44-second video. It says, the Wicked Witch of the West, poppies will put you to sleep.
Yeah, poppies will put you to sleep.
Let's see what we got here.
You feel vindicated, Doug?
Well, I've seen the thing 100 times, but... I remember a lot of things not quite as they used to be in movies.
Meaning?
I remember poppies will put you to sleep.
The Wicked Witch of the West.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
Was that the Good Witch?
This is right before she was named Consigliere.
She wasn't. She wasn't.
The Good Witch was the one that said, put the coffee down.
No, there was no coffee talk. There was no coffee talk.
Who's the one that said, my little pretty? Was that the East?
Yes. I have a transcript now. Looks like four paragraphs down. This is from the Wicked Witch of the West. Poppies, poppies, poppies will put them to sleep. Sleep, now they'll sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what
is that
it
Mickey
is.
Mickey Carroll's character?
I don't know.
No. It was a munchkin.
Well, what was the witch? A tall person? Weren't they all little?
Yes. Oh. No, they weren't all little. Did you ever see the film?
I can't remember. I thought they were all little in that land. Even the witches were little.
There were no munchkin witches. Yeah. They were afraid of the Wicked Witch of the East with the green face, right? Margaret Hamilton.
I thought she was the West. Wicked Witch of the West.
Well, yeah, she's West Side, Doug.
Okay. And the East was a pretty Glinda, right?
Glinda, that's right. Doug, they said Theon had a real nice piece of love. That's from Bungie Donovan's priest.
Yeah. Are you to that part yet?
Yes.
Oh, you're only 7th episode. Yeah, he got it cut off.
What? What if we want?
Yeah, the Bolton bastard cut it off.
Hello, Carlo. That's from Steve in Wildwood.
So Saluzzo used
poppies. Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Who was the big guy that they...
Clemenza?
No, they knifed his hand.
Luca Brasi. Yeah.
Luca, that's how they got Luca.
He was made consigliere, and they got him with posies and poppies.
How are we going to take care of Luca? The poppies will put him to sleep. They put a knife right in his hand.
Yeah, I know. He couldn't move.
Tim, I don't know if you had thought about this, but Luca was the big enforcer. He should have known it was a setup.
Yeah.
He should have known.
I'm disappointed in him.
He wasn't smart.
Doug, how do you feel about eunuchs? Eunuchs are men that have their testicles removed to make them better soldiers. How hot is that?
Not that hot.
Samir Slay's tickler.
Ah, did that ever really happen?
To make them better soldiers?
Yeah, that wouldn't.
Grey Worm.
Maybe. What?
What are those guys called? Khaleesi's.
The Unsullied.
The Unsullied, yeah. They all had the Unsullied. They all had cut off their balls so they could fight better. Couldn't have sex.
Why did that make them fight better? I think you get a real attitude.
I have to ask him.
Wouldn't you think that would likely kill someone if you did that 1,000 years ago? You'd probably bleed to death or die of infection. Or
just put a couple leeches on it.
I don't think so.
Heal right up nice.
Well, that's how the Red Woman got the blood from the world blood. He put leeches on it, then threw the leech into the fire to get the...
You don't have to go back very far in history.
I'm pretty much told you everything that's going on in Game of Thrones. You're all caught up, buddy.
Thanks. If you just go back to the Civil War and you had doctors sawing people's limbs off with a hacksaw.
I was
going
to try to do that to you.
Well, I'm not wounded.
Yeah, you had a toe situation.
I'm not there yet.
And an arm. Then we're going to sell off your limbs on the fan page.
Well, no thanks.
Raise some money.
Doug, the Wicked Witch's face was trash, but that body was fine as hell. Thoughts?
You couldn't tell. It was kind of a blousy dress, kind of a willowy dress.
Were you looking, though, to see what was going on there?
No, I didn't like Margaret Hamilton. She frightened me.
What was that, Marvin Hamlish?
No, Margaret Hamilton.
Oh, sorry.
Guys, my grandma said Abe Vigoda was hung like a peanut, but made up for it with his mouth game.
That's right, from grandma.
Butch Patrick's werewolf doll.
A grandma's secret friend is one of our thorough limits.
Gaping stepdad is new, though. I'm getting tired of walking to the toilet in the middle of the night. I'm going to try this chamber pot. Is there a chamber pot sponsor? Doug, can you help train me on its proper usage?
I've never used one.
That comes from noodles.
Never had to use one. Always had indoor plumbing at the Vaughn House. That's right. We were blessed.
You could get one of those big Tupperware bowls. That would work, right?
That'll work. That's a chamber pot.
Just any sort of bowl, I guess. My dad grew up with an outhouse in the back of his house.
And did you like it?
No, I'm sure they didn't like it.
That only goes back to like the 1860s. They were still using those things.
Well, some parts of Alaska, they still have it because
they used them in some small town.
So I could say in rural China, they are still in existence. Date back to ancient Greece in the 6th century. They got children's... ones as well. They have different sizes. Some of them have covers, like similar to a half
hope
a
you could cover it up.
Some of these are pretty interesting, actually. I wouldn't mind having one as well.
Oh, come on. You're going to use indoor
plumbing. Here's another thing, too. I don't know about you.
The alternate name is Thunder Pot.
Oh,
that's
I like
the
it.
Bathroom version. Thunder Pot.
You ever go camping? You've been camping.
Hell, I've been as a kid.
Nature
I am not going again.
Nature calls.
Yeah.
I have trouble doing the second variety in the woods.
Oh, it's terrible.
There's not a building close by where you can do that?
No, I've camped in the wilderness, and it's almost like you have to feel some porcelain on you before your excretory system kicks in.
So what'd you do?
I held it.
Yeah, that's the best.
Well, sometimes you can't, like on the golf course. Once I had to do it, and then once I was trout fishing.
Oh, come on, you can't get through a golf course without doing that. You can't play a round of golf without going in the woods.
There's porta potties there.
Where you go in the woods, Ziggy?
Yeah, and then I had to use my underwear to
Where
wipe.
Where was this? St. Louis?
Oh no, you didn't.
Is this a St. Louis or Old Warsaw?
You can't get in the cart and drive. To
I think
the
it was
clubhouse.
Missouri Bluffs, actually.
So actually,
your underwear's out there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Oh.
I actually had to use a t-shirt the other day.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
The other day.
No. A white tee. So I have hundreds of white tees I have accumulated over the years because I never grow out of anything and they never get too holy because I use them as undershirts. I was out of TP and it's one of those I didn't have napkins. I didn't have paper towels. Mm. And I didn't have the capability at that time to go up to the neighbors to ask because I would have been in full waddle mode.
Oh, jeez.
So how recent was this?
2 days ago.
What'd you do with the t-shirt?
Oh, I took the trash out and got rid of it.
I mean, this seems like some story from Bangladesh.
It does.
Many,
We're
many
a
years
world
ago.
First world country.
So I saw the t-shirt from the previous shower that I took the night before. And
how would you see the t-shirt from the shower?
It was on the floor in the
bathroom. It was on the
bathroom.
Floor in the bathroom, right by the toilet.
Oh, you just wore the t-shirt.
Yeah, I just wore the t-shirt the other day.
All right.
And then how did you dispose of the newly anointed bathroom tissue?
Just got done, walked it out with kind of the hoodie half over your face where the eye, obviously the nose is covered, but you still can see.
How about putting it in a trash can?
The problem was the dog thought it was a toy.
Oh, no.
And so, like, as I'm trying to throw it into the wastebasket to get rid of it into the dumpster, the dog has an obsession with playing with dirty laundry, mm-hmm. especially ones with that potent of smell.
Oh.
So that was difficult as well. But got it in the trash and everything.
You didn't
good.
Think to maybe put that in a trash bag.
I was pot committed, as Tim would like to say, at this point in time. I didn't have any other options.
No, no.
Didn't have a trash bag in my trash
can. You
didn't
have one plastic bag somewhere.
Not in the bathroom, no.
So you just threw this freshly soiled article and put it in the regular garbage.
And then immediately took it to the dumpster. Don't get me wrong. I took that bag. It wasn't even full, to the dumpster, and new bag is in, and everything is fine.
Mm.
Got me some toilet paper. Yeah. I'm good.
You
got
to get that toot sweet.
Doug, chamber pots are kind of hot when you think about it. You can lock eyes with your lover while you make mud in the bedroom.
No, 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 no.
Make mud.
Mm-mm.
Now, I think a chamber pot is for the females. The men are called pee pots.
They're separate?
So
you got to have two bowls of stuff in here?
Yeah, because the women's are kind of nice design porcelain, and the men's are just a copper pot.
And how long till you dispose of it?
Well, normally back in the day, you had someone who worked for you would empty it for you, like a maid or somebody. They just throw it out the window.
I'm looking at them now. And
just throw it out the window.
All the ones that I see, the ones that I think would be most popular for our listeners would be the ones from the Japanese Edo period from 1603 to 1868.
Judge Edo. He was in California in the 90s.
These are wood. It looks like wood with brass or something connecting them with a cover, and it's seated for two. So you can kind of... Like that texter said, have some fun with your locking eyes.
That's not the time.
I don't believe you can sit on a chamber pot.
No, this
women would have to squat, and the men just stand up, and it splashes everywhere. Mm. At least the ones I saw back in the Deadwood area.
When did indoor plumbing come into being a thing that most everybody had?
I believe it was 1984.
No, it was earlier than that.
1984.
Quite a bit earlier.
Yeah, I think that's why Reagan got reelected in a landslide, because people were excited about having indoor plumbing.
I think
84. You're right.
Yep. I don't think it was. I'm thinking right around the turn of the 20th century.
And then the following year, I remember this because it was a milestone in American pop culture. But the toilet where the seat raises up. So 84 indoor plumbing, 85 the toilet seat where you can raise it. And
that's why August Bush said it was a heck of a year.
Mm. I think it goes back a little earlier than that, but I could be wrong.
Did I ever tell you the trout fishing story about the one time that I, the one of the few times that I actually took a dump outside?
Oh.
And you wiped on your buddy. You used your buddy. You
can't do it at a golf course.
Well, I did on the golf course.
Trout fishing.
But the other time I was taking a walk after dinner, and it gets really dark out in Rockbridge, and there's no lights anywhere. So I'm walking back from the walk I took, and it's pitch dark. I mean, I've got a lighter trying to find the road, and I had to go so bad. And I knew my cabin was like, God, I got to go all the way down through here and all the way back up the road. I'm never going to make it. So I cut through, and I got to the back of one of the cabins, and I was getting ready to go, and the grass in the back was like 2 feet tall. Every time I squat down, I mean, grass is going up my ass.
Oh, jeez.
So there was a table there, like a cement table, and I just got up on top of there and just took the dump there and pulled my pants up and then just got back to my cabin.
What is this, a recreation?
No,
area?
this is a true story. So
this is a vacation, and you just soiled someone's picnic table.
So I'm out in the stream the next day, and there's this couple not catching any fish, and I'm catching fish. And he asked me, "What are you using?" And I told him what you lures. He goes, "Yeah, it's our first time here. We're not really sure." I said, "Well, just use this." And I said, "So how do you like it? Your first time here?" "Oh, we love it. It's just beautiful down here. Just a lot of animals." I go, "Yeah, you can hear the wolves at night." And he goes, "No, we went out this morning, and there's a big dump on our table. So animals, I guess they just jump up on tables and take dumps." I said, that was my dump that they're talking about. So just ironic.
That the people I was, ironic about
the people that I was in the stream with was commenting on what they thought was an animal dump on their table.
God save us.
Mm. Doug Frank will be up next.
12.
I hope he has some religious teachings.
This guy dumped on a picnic table. This guy tells a story of having to use an undershirt to wipe, and we thought it was from when he was 17.
It
and
was 2 days ago.
It was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
It was Sattersby.
Hmm. Hmm.
Guys, why do you need a chamber pot when you get a splash on your partner's chest?
No. Who is that, Tim?
Barnhart Brawler.
Barnhart Brawler just got suspended. He just got suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name will be reflected in the Llewellyn's Pub leather-bound suspension log. You, hey, Wright Business Products, thank you for the pins.
You still got one, right?
No, they were stolen, but I wanted to thank them for the pins nonetheless.
Tullamore Dew is the official Irish whiskey of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and we are grateful for their support. Tullamore Dew, enjoy one when you're ponied up. This tonight, a lot of Americans will have a choice. Watch The Bachelor or watch Clemson, Alabama. Doug, how you gonna handle it?
Something's getting recorded. I have to record The Bachelor.
Roll down, minus six.
I'd take that. I wouldn't even think about it.
God, I don't know. I would. I'm probably going to do the same thing.
Clemson has not beaten Alabama since 1905. What role will history play?
Well, that's not bad.
You know, I guess people that have bookies don't like it when their buddy says, "Hey, can you put 50 down on it for me?" They hate that. Yeah. So I wouldn't. But if I, because I don't have a bookie ever since Jimmy the Nose left the industry.
Go to Bovada. Knock that out real quick, and then I get a $100 reference fee, referral fee. Then I'll cut you in on $4 of it.
$4?
Yep.
Let me see. What is the return on investment on that?
Yep. You bet that four on Alabama.
I'd rather just wager with a local bookie.
Any bookies want to call in?
Bookies call in.
I think you want to do a local guy. If it's a local guy and you don't pay up, they break your leg.
Well, I wouldn't bet over my head. I'd bet with it. Hmm. But I'd put $100 on Alabama.
If Alabama wins, this will be their fifth national title since 2009.
How about that?
That is unbelievable.
I would have no doubt on this one either. That's how sure I am.
How about that?
And I've had a lock of the week correct for 8 straight years.
You haven't. Alabama's still got this freshman signal caller.
Yeah, I know. I'm just not sold on Clemson. I'm just not. I can't unwatch the rest of the regular season just because what happened against Ohio State.
That was a bit of a mirage.
I think so.
Yes.
31 or nothing.
Oh, that was a good Ohio State team.
Oh, I got one.
What do you got? You got a bookie just like that?
I got a little help.
So sweet.
Who's his leg breaker? Tim, have you ever had your legs broken?
I have not, but if I did, I would use it as an opportunity to get implants to increase my height.
Well, yeah. Well, that's looking for the positive in anything.
That's what I always do. Audio Express is the place to go. The massive store-wide inventory, clearance sales in full swing at all Audio Express locations. Everything from hands-free Bluetooth, iPhone, Android smartphone integration to top-of-the-line touchscreen DVD navigation units are on sale now at the lowest prices we've ever offered. Here are just a few of the unbelievable deals at all Audio Express locations. Add hands-free Bluetooth to any car stereo starting as low as $39. JVC's top-selling AM/FM CD with Bluetooth and matching speakers, just $159 installed. Get the top-name brands you want at prices you'll love during Audio Express annual store-wide clearance sale. Hurry in for the best selection. It's Audio Express. Eric in the Central West End says Clemson is going to shock the world. I don't know if that'll be shocking the world. I think a lot of people were thinking Clemson's going to win.
Big revenge game.
Alabama, some of the players are saying they actually feel like underdogs on Saturday. That's why Saban's got them thinking. I don't know.
Well, they've only won, 25, 26 in a row? You can see how they would feel like the world's disrespecting them and they're underdogs.
I guess if they were to win by a huge amount, they may go down as one of the greatest teams ever. Otherwise, even though they're undefeated and that defense gets talked about as being one of the best defenses ever, I don't think that this team is, at this moment, now 24 hours later, you could be hearing Mike and Mike fill 4 hours once the Odell Beckham Jr. Miami trip thing wears off, talking about this is the best college football team ever. When you think of the best college football team ever, Doug, is there a team that stands out to you? I think like those mid-90s Nebraska teams with Lawrence Phillips and that group.
Big offensive line.
They were unstoppable.
No team just jumps up and grabs me as the best ever. No.
It's Florida State or Miami teams.
The Miami team, because they do the 30 for 30s.
They lost to Ohio State. Yeah. If they wouldn't have lost to Ohio State, when you look back on that roster.
There are teams that before our time just rolled over everybody and never had close games, but you're going way back to
Wizard White
40s and Bud Wilkinson's Oklahoma teams and
some of the Missouri teams in the 80s.
This game tonight will come down to first down, I think, will be important. What? Second down will be very important. Third down will be crucial. And fourth down will be very crucial. And you watch and see if it doesn't play out that way.
Nice. Third down's crucials?
Yeah, crucials. Those will be the crucials downs. First down is important. Second down, very important. Third down, crucials. Doug, fourth down, very crucial.
Doug, I'd put the mid-1940s Notre Dame teams up against the 2016 Missouri Tigers. Thanks.
Well back then, some of those guys would be like 90 years old now.
Plus, back then, they had offensive linemen that weighed 160.
You know,
you look at Jimmy, sweet, I could have been left tackle.
Jimmy Johnson was a guard on the Arkansas team that won a national title. He's about 5'9". Remember when Dan Dierdorf was drafted by the Cardinals, we thought, this guy is a monster. He's 6'3", 276. Oh, my God. And then 25 years later, unless you're over 300 pounds, you don't have a chance to play on the offensive line.
Every once in a while, you see a center who's like 270, 280. That's a highly skilled position.
Not usually.
Doug, we got email of the day, and it's brought to you by Hot Shots. It's a free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots. Hot Shots, home of our TMA Live this Thursday. Come out and join us. And then the AFC-NFC Championship Party. A Lemmings lunch is a single Hot Shots burger or double chili cheese Doug Dog with a side of TMA Hot Tots. Any Lemming can order this meal for just $6.99 Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Also, new additions to Doug's Thorough Lemmings list will be awarded a free Lemmings lunch. Plus, Hot Shots is offering up a $100 gift card to each of our Email of the Month winners in 2017. So there it is, big prizes. Hey, guys, just curious if you were able to get your hot little hands on the latest issue of Fupa Aficionado. This edition has some wonderful examples of pant that fits real nice like around a sweaty Fupa, and which winter colors really accentuate that hot and rewarding piece. The guest contributor, Joe Simpson, also tells all about what he looks for in a bear when he props them up in the porta potty and just flat gets after that hot penile loaf. How do you do?
That's awful.
Timmy Walters.
Just awful, Timmy. Timmy Walters.
What a weekend, boys. First, thanks to the tickets I won on this award-winning program to the Gateway Fighting Series. I went on my first date of 2017. What an event. Very romantic. After leaving Midtown, I went to buy TJ a romantic dinner, so we hit up the Golden Pancake across from Lambert. I got my usual table, look around the room, and spy a goateed man in Crocs with a service dog. He kept mumbling things about Jacksonville. TJ was sure it was Casey Affleck. I'm not so sure. Anyway, happy National Cassoulet Day? The anonymous Carlos Danger.
Anonymous Carlos Danger.
Guys, Plops here. Talk about hitting the jackpot. That Vianney dad I showered with in private Saturday afternoon was named Griffin. Guess that means 6 years of good luck for me. What? Also, my family and I want to thank Doug for his incredible hospitality. Timmy, really on to something good. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, we went to have lunch at the Kirkwood Brewhouse yesterday. We were seated in a corner just after our busboy Tyler brought us our soups. Doug came out to the table. He was carrying a wooden stool and an acoustic guitar. He sat down at the end of our table, took off his shirt, and started to play a song. The song he performed so slowly and eloquently was Hero by Enrique Iglesias. His nips were quivering just as his voice did as he closed his eyes and dominated the chorus. You can take my breath away. My Yelp review from this incredible experience is just a JPEG of my erection poking through my sweatpants.
Okay.
Thanks for everything, Misty Plops.
Misty Plops, Assistant Program Director.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you've seen the recent uproar in the Blues Lounge, but after the Blues being 2-0 with their Winter Classic jerseys, the Bluesers are calling for a permanent jersey change. I've looked into it, and a Weasley small penis, two-time and good-for-nothing dirtbag representative from the team told me there is a 4 to 5 year process of getting a jersey change per NHL league rules.
Yeah.
I know this seems fundamentally inconsistent, seeing as how Cleveland, Jacksonville, Tampa, Miami, and Minnesota have all made changes to jerseys since 2013 with no more than a 12-month notice, but you just don't understand the intricacies of NHL workings like this particular no-good, double-crossing, micro-penis gerbil trainer of a COO. Luckily, there is a loophole. You see, if the team really craps the bed 1 week or fires their head coach slash fall guy, they may be able to quickly throw together a half-ass throwback helmet for a road game in Seattle. I mean Minnesota. Thanks, Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Matt, who bowls right there at Hank's.
Good morning, y'all. I like the Cat and Doug talking this morning. In case you missed it, Tim was the best impression of the two old Muppets who sit in the theater balcony and make bad jokes about the show. So the Golden Globes talk, huh? We going to bring that whole thing back in February with the Oscars? Oscar De La Hoya was a nice little southpaw with an orthodox stance. You got to remember to move the feet. Blue feet is what I strive for. Well, good talk. I got to go now. Thanks. The hot chick from that movie the cat likes.
Sure. Hot chick from that movie the cat likes.
What movie?
I wonder what movie that is.
Oh, Beautiful Girls, maybe?
I am. And finally, hello, boys. Doug, I've been sitting here waiting for you to bring me back to life since 2002. All I need is a mouth kiss and possibly a little tongue action. I would ask for some foreplay, but I'm not capable of that. That's all, man. That's from Ted Williams' Frozen Head.
That's a poor, poor email.
And that's what we have for the Hot Shots email of the day.
Ted Williams.
Got? I've said this time and time again, but I'm going with Plops.
I was considering going with Ted Williams' Frozen Head just to pay homage to his .482 career on base percentage, the tops in Major League Baseball history. But instead, I'm going to go with Misty Plops.
Misty Plops has shipped it unanimously and has the first free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots for winning email of the day. Misty Plops might win that $100 gift card for winning the email of the month in January. Time for us to shut it down. It's the Lion's Choice Famous Roast Beef handoff to Frank Cusumano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box for the Plow Bruin, for Iggy, for the Seamaster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.